Well, we've got our sheriff this morning, Kathy Witt. Good morning to you, Sheriff.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Fine. You are notorious for bringing us great guests, your guests, and you brought one this morning.
Well, thank you. It is the honor of a lifetime to introduce our listeners or reintroduce our listeners to Lexington's newest police chief, and that's Chief Lawrence Weathers. The last time we had him on, he was chief of police, but for Fayette County Public School Law Enforcement. So welcome, Chief.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, Mr.
And
Patty.
Thank you, Jack. Please, please. I'm much too young for that. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you, sir, very much.
I talked to a whole bunch of people, some of your people and some of the people on the police department that I just happen to know, and I have yet to have one person say anything but you are absolutely the man for the job.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm going to do my best to live up to that.
Yeah, well, you're quite popular with people. And it's not just popularity. Obviously, you're up to the job.
Yes,
so
sir.
We're glad to have you.
He has the respect of the entire community. And
yeah.
So I too, agree that he is the right person for the job at this time.
I got to ask, because it was just on our news a minute ago, if you have an opinion, and if you don't, that's perfectly okay. But since you have been the chief of the police department for the public schools, what do you think about this metal detector business?
I think a metal detector certainly have a place, but they're a tool, just like anything else we use to promote safety and protect people. And people have to keep in mind that that's not the end-all, be-all to safety. You still have to follow all the safety rules and regulations that are in place and still have to remember it does not take the place of people reporting and saying something about what they see, especially if it's wrong. And that doesn't mean you tweet it or Snapchat it or Instagram it or Facebook it. You need to find somebody who can do something about it and actually talk to them and tell them what's going on and give that information. And I know there are several venues for reporting anonymously, and that's fine. But please make sure when you do that, you give as much information as you can.
Excellent advice. We had John Akers, who I'm sure you know,
yes,
on earlier this morning, and he's not a big fan of the metal detectors. Sort of what you just said. He said, I'm afraid that people will be lax at that point, going, oh, okay, now we're okay now. And as you said, it's going to be one small – if you have them, it's going to be one small part.
Yes, sir. And I was at a neighborhood meeting last night, and I'll just reiterate what I said there. You know, there's an old adage that locks only keep honest people out. So putting metal detectors in place, that's fine, but you still have to remember your responsibilities.
That's true. Sheriff?
Well, I don't know that I could say it any better. I think they are a tool. We certainly use them every single day at the courthouse. It is important, though, that we all acknowledge that they're a piece of equipment and they are utilized by human beings, and so it's not a perfect system. Unlike at the courthouse, we only have three entrances, and the schools have lots of entrances.
Right.
And so that's going to be one of the challenges, I believe. But I agree with the chief. You know, the firearms that have come into the schools have done just that. They've come in from within the community.
Right.
And so we've got to be out in the community actually talking, building relationships, and determining why these young children, number one, have the firearm, and number two, why they feel the need to bring them into the school or to carry them on their person out in the community.
253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll-free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at wvlkam.com, or we have a text line sponsored by Atlas Contracting. That's 253-5959. Any questions that you have for the chief, very nice of you to come and answer those questions for us. So you have first time I talked to you was right the day after it was announced that you were our new chief, and I asked about what kind of goals and priorities, and you basically said you wanted to, and I thought it was very respectable of the acting chief. You said you wanted to talk to him first, and I thought that was a very nice thing to do. I had a couple of people said that's a classy thing for the chief to do. Are you at a point now where you can address some of the things that are priorities?
I see some things, and I'm basically right now I'm looking at some internal things, and you know, I have a great command staff, Chief Compton and Chief Holman and Chief Sedlacek and Chief Coleman are very valuable resources for me. And we're going through and we're looking at, to see if some changes need to be made. Are we headed in the right direction on some in some areas? And if we're not, what we can do to adjust that and get on the right course. But right now, I have to say the majority of things seem to be running like they should be running.
You've spent how many years in the Lexington Police Department?
27 years.
And in that length of time, what jobs did you do?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first
all of them?
Now, first of all, I was on patrol for a few years, and which is standard. From there, I became a DARE officer, and I think that's where I met Sheriff Witt.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say how long ago that was.
A DARE officer? Yes, is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
I love the DARE program.
The DARE program is a great program, and I know there's some detractors out there, but there are other positives that program has, and I was glad to see that it came back.
I'm glad to see it's back, too.
From a DARE officer, I went straight into being an undercover narcotics detective, and I did that for a number of years, and I was promoted to a supervisor, and I supervised a street-level crime interdiction unit, and then I went back into a narcotics unit as a supervisor and got promoted again and remained there as a supervisor. Like I said, after several years in narcotics, then I was transferred to internal affairs and was a supervisor of that unit for a couple of years and got promoted to the position of commander, where I was over central sector for a couple of years, and then transferred to training. And
yeah, there isn't much you haven't done.
It's been a lot. It's been a lot. But everything has been a positive experience for me, and I learned a lot. And from training, I was promoted to assistant chief and then went into special operations and retired from there.
That undercover narcotics work is dangerous. I don't have to tell you that.
It can be.
Yeah.
He was very successful at all of those.
Yeah, good.
I hope so.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I was sad when he retired from the Division of Police, but I was really, really happy for the kids in the Fayette County Public School System.
You're
because
gonna miss
I knew
that?
He was a game changer for them.
Oh, Fayette County Public Schools, yes, sir. I mean, I know I was there for a short period of time, but Fayette County Public Schools is a very special place, and they took me in and welcomed me, and the law enforcement officers there gave me all of their faith and encouragement, and it was a difficult choice to make. Even after just mm-hmm. being there for a year and a half, it was a difficult choice to make. But I spoke to just about all my officers, and for lack of a better word, they gave their blessing and they understood,
good.
And that really meant a lot to me. And Superintendent Calk gave me some very good words of encouragement.
Good.
And Shelley Chatfield, who was my direct supervisor, she didn't want me to go, and she understood, and she thought, just like Superintendent Calk thought, that it was probably best for Lexington overall.
How does it work, Chief? How many officers does the school system have, and where are they located?
The school system, I think now, they may be short some officers because they had some retirements, but I think they should be slated to have about 34 officers.
Full-time.
They have one supervisor and four officers at least every high school, and each high school has feeder schools associated with it. And those officers assigned to the high school also patrol those feeder schools associated with the high schools.
That are, I guess, middle schools?
Middle schools and elementary schools.
And elementary schools.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Okay, Sheriff, it's all right. We'll take a break.
Okay.
We've got Mike on hold. Mike, just hang in there, buddy. We'll come to you as soon as we come back. All right, we got the new chief with us, and we've got, I'm not going to say our old sheriff. No, man. She's got a gun, man. I'm not going to call her the old sheriff. And we're talking about our new chief and his responsibilities, his areas that of importance to him. And, I mean, everybody has their own style, don't they?
Yes, sheriff, they do.
You know,
yes.
And they should.
Right.
And that's a good thing. Let's go to the calls. Mike, hey, thanks for being patient with us. Maybe he wasn't. Mike, are you there? Okay, maybe he wasn't patient with us. Let's try Mark. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, I got a question about these metal detectors at the entrances to schools.
Yes.
Wouldn't that, if you had a bunch of students lined up to get into school through a metal detector, kind of like in an airport, doesn't that create a target-rich environment if somebody wanted to do something really nasty outside?
What do you think, Chief?
Well, like I said before, metal detectors are just a tool. They're not there to protect from everything, and you still have to remain vigilant. And I feel confident that Fayette County Public Schools law enforcement is doing just that. And, you know, being in the position that I'm in and Chief Schaefer's in, you know, you kind of have to think about the what-ifs.
Right.
And things like that are definitely some things that we think about.
Yeah, because I remember when I was in school, I guess high school, junior high, kids brought guns to school and kept them in their lockers because they were on the rifle team.
Yeah. Those were the days. I appreciate your call. Thanks. Yeah, that's a, you know, that's an interesting question. And the thing is, when you've got something like that, you got to think of all the angles.
Yes, sir.
Somebody called the show one day and said the first thing these kids do after there's a catastrophe is they have a big public demonstration, and how horrible would that be if some sicko used that as an opportunity to do something horrible? You know, you got to think of all that.
You do.
Well, we've got open phone lines, 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. We've talked about drugs. We've talked about opioids. We've talked about all that stuff. And I wonder if that would go away, how that would affect our crime rate. It'd go right to the basement, wouldn't it, pretty quick?
I think there's been some studies that suggest that it would. Unfortunately, I don't know if it will go away.
It's not going to go away, right, right. And I know that now heroin's back, and in addition to pills and even meth, are you seeing even some that sort of went away for a while, didn't it?
We still see it all, and the synthetics is what we see a lot of too. You know, we deal a lot with Serenity, the synthetic marijuana. We deal with that too. So there's several things you have to keep eye on, and it, you know, and again, I appreciate the opioid crisis, but it coming from a drug enforcement, drug prevention background, I think we should keep our eye on the ball, just like with violence and things that's happening, and other things that are happening today. We've got to look at what the root cause is for abuse overall,
yeah,
and start addressing some of those issues.
What do you think it is?
Well, I'm not sure. There could be a variety of things. But I'm of the opinion that we need to make the resources available. So if people do need treatment, we need to make sure the avenues are open. If there are intervention programs that are out there, we need to make sure that people have access to those. And we can't stop talking about preventive measures, you know, educating our young people and educating our adults about the realities associated with drug use and drug abuse and drug misuse.
Mm-hmm. How much of this is gang related?
The drugs, drug trafficking, some of it may be.
Not a huge problem, though, in our town? Or not?
I'm not gonna categorize it like that, because I feel like any trafficking is a problem. So whether or not it's huge or small,
yeah,
depends upon your perspective and how it's affecting your
life. Well, you know where it's coming from. You were undercover, you know, for a long time with the narcotics division, so you know where it's coming from. It's coming from Detroit, right? Mostly, or would you say
there are several feeder cities?
Really,
if you look at Lexington, Fayette County,
yeah.
We've got I-75 and I-64 that cross right through. Both of them run north, south, east, west. So we get it. We can get it from anywhere, or it'll come through here, especially if they're transporting it. So there are several feeder cities that we look at, and you look at some of the major cities across the country, we're 6 to 8 hours away from a lot of them. So,
yeah,
we see
comes from all directions.
We see our share. Yes, sir.
Interesting. All right, Sheriff, I know you have questions, and I'm hogging the mic. Go ahead.
It's okay. I want you to tell our listeners how you feel about partnerships, because we have several law enforcement entities right here in Lexington, and how valuable to you are partnerships?
Partnerships are very valuable, and I think I learned that when starting in DARE, because all of the other agencies that were doing it, they were all ready to lend a hand, especially when we were training, letting us come to their area schools and train. And then when you needed supplies or you needed somebody to fill in, you needed a guest, you could count on every every local and surrounding law enforcement entity to give you a hand. And that carried on in narcotics. We have very strong partnerships with the Sheriff's Department, Transylvania Public Safety, the Airport Police, University of Kentucky Police. It's just amazing, forming those partnerships opens you up to a lot of resources. And then I talk about just our local partnerships, but and our surrounding county partnerships, the federal agencies that we partner with. It's very important because the things that we're dealing with now, they can't just be solved by law enforcement. You have to bring the community in, and the information and expertise that our partners in the community have, and the resources that they can provide to help offset some of the things that we see. It's just amazing, and I'm a big proponent of partnerships, and I'm anxious to make more and see where we haven't looked to partner with people.
Commonwealth Attorney's Office, Luanna Redcorn.
Oh, my gosh.
Those people there are incredibly important.
and the county attorney.
And the county attorney.
Mr. Roberts has been around. And I apologize, Mr. Roberts, but.
About as long as I have.
When I was when I was young.
Yeah.
Child, he was a Commonwealth attorney.
Yeah.
And I remember that because he had a camp called Camp Smilowah, which he took youth and helped mentor them and provided mentors and provided guidance for them. And that's very important.
I was going to say he made an impression on you.
He did. And
so you're going to do another 4 years, which I'm happy to hear.
Honored that for the first time.
Unopposed since, for the first
yes,
time.
Yes, yes.
In
so
six
I'm
terms.
Very humbled and very honored by that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. All right, we have a caller. Let's go back to the phones, and we have our new police chief, Lawrence Weathers, in case you just joined us. A very soft-spoken guy. This is Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Hi, Jack. Love the show. I want to thank the officers for their service. A quick comment and opinion on drugs. I've always believed that the drug dealers are the biggest problem. They're the root cause. I would like the officers to speak to the types of incarceration, duration of incarceration for drug dealers, whether it be a small drug dealer or a big drug dealer. And it's basically my opinion that no punishment is too tough for drug dealers in general. And from my personal experience, it seems to me that drug dealers are not put away long enough. They're like I said, they're the root problem. And I almost believe that they do not fear incarceration. And if they did fear incarceration more than they do, would they be less likely to participate in selling drugs and destroying our community? I'll hang up and listen to the officers. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate your call. Our president has called for the death penalty for people selling drugs. What is your opinion on that, Chief?
Well, I'm not in the prosecution business, and I'll leave that up to our prosecutors to talk about that. It's been my experience, though, that when we come for somebody selling drugs, they always run. So I think they might be afraid of the incarceration part. Our sentencing and incarceration rates are, people look at those. But, again, whether or not they're effective, or anything like that, I'm going to let the prosecutors talk about that because we just bring them to them.
What do you? I'm sure you have an opinion on it.
Well, I do believe in incarceration, and I don't know whether the penalty is stiff enough now or not, but I do believe that incarceration is a deterrent for future crime. I think the incarceration, I've always been a believer in this, I think the incarceration, though, could be more labor intensive, if you will. I know that we use inmate labor to clean up graffiti, but I think that we have a great community corrections, so don't get me wrong, but
right.
I just feel like that doing a little more while incarcerated would probably also be helpful.
Okay. I think most people would agree with that.
Right.
And it's good to see them out there working.
We're seeing facilities across the country who are allowing those incarcerated to have full internet access, full access to a lot of social media, and that accomplishes nothing positive. So not here, but I'm just saying across the country.
Are you in favor of the cameras, the body cameras that you guys wear now?
Oh yeah. I mean, before we got them, I watched a lot of news stories, and before they started getting widespread, and people were talking about police officers not liking them, but police officers love them. I mean, I think the body camera is going to prove what we administrators already knew, that our officers are going out there doing exactly what they're supposed to do and doing it in the right way the majority of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just like every profession, we do have some people that mess up or maybe make a mistake. But we deal with that and we move on. But the majority of the time, our officers are doing exactly what they need to do.
And you don't have cameras, dashboard cameras, right?
No, sir. I think before I left, we looked at that and we thought the body cameras were a better investment because you put them on the car and the officer gets out of the car.
It's not any good anymore, yeah. Someone called, didn't want to go on the air, and wanted to know how many drug dealers are drug users. Virtually none, right?
No, we do have some people that that support their habits, but we try to focus on the hard line, our main core traffickers for our drug buys and drug busts like that.
Here's a text that says it's in parts here, so I may get it out of order. I'll try not to. The officers come out and make the people leave, but nothing really is done. There was, however, an arrest made last week for someone on an unrelated charge for burglary. So this is the type of people we have running up and down our street at nights in front of our homes and walk down to the house in question because they're too scared to park at the house. So anywhere from 16 to 20 cars after dark park in front of our homes to conduct their activities. Let's see if there was any more here that I missed. Says Jack, please ask the chief. I have on my street a house that the people here are selling narcotics. I've called. My neighbors have called. But these people are still there. What's the...
You need to keep calling. Just because you don't see us doesn't mean we're not there. Sometimes it takes a while to gather the evidence. And where you're looking at it, and you see what you believe is to be drug trafficking or drug activity. When an officer goes there, an officer not only has to see that, but also has to be able to prove that.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
So it may take some time, but keep calling. Don't stop calling.
Has the cost of the 34 school police officers made our property taxes increase?
No.
Okay. That was an easy one to answer.
People have to realize that Fayette County Public Schools have had law enforcement officers since 1971.
Yes.
Have they really?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
I want to go back to something, if we have
sure.
the time to do it,
yes,
that
absolutely.
Chief mentioned a few minutes ago, and maybe our listeners didn't really grasp the significance of it. He mentioned about Larry Roberts when he was the Commonwealth Attorney, and it was when Chief was growing up. So when Mayor Gray held his press conference and made his announcement about who he had chosen to be our next police chief, Chief Weathers got up and said he was a Winburn Warrior, a Bryan Station Defender, a University of Kentucky Wildcat, and a very proud citizen of Lexington, Kentucky. And I say that to say this. He grew up here, and so he was impacted by those that he had contact with when he was growing up here. And I think that that's really going to be important to him as he leads the 600-person police force now into the partnerships and developing relationships with our young people. And so, you know, he had a great family. I've met his mom. I love her. I think she's great. And I think he is a product of how his mom raised him and his siblings. But I just want to talk about those intentional relationships that we have to build if we're actually going to make a difference.
That is correct. And when I was talking about Larry Roberts, you asked me about Luanna Redcorn, and all I can say about the Commonwealth Attorney's Office is that they're available for us 24 Good. Hours, 7 days a week. And I don't, and I've been to other states, and they just don't have that relationship with their Commonwealth Attorney or District Attorney or whatever it is. But we both entities work hard to make sure that relationship stays strong.
You went to Winburn.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Bluegrass, Aspendale, and then we moved over into the Hollow Creek area.
Rough area, the first one.
Well.
Wasn't it? Maybe it didn't seem like it.
Well, my mother was strict, so we were those kids that my mother raised 10 kids.
Wow.
As a single parent. We were in that family where when my mother wasn't home, we weren't allowed to go outside the backyard. We had to be in when the streetlights came on, and my mother was insistent upon knowing who our friends were and who their parents were, and those things are important.
Those things are very, very important.
No kidding.
Yeah. My children always thought I was such a nosy mother. And so now today, though, they do thank me for being such a nosy mother. And so I say to our young staff members who have young children, you've got to be nosy moms and dads.
Bob says, when I hear a shooting victim is not cooperating with authorities, is that an indication that it was a gang-related crime? Not necessarily?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Got a couple of calls here, and then we shall take our final break. This is Rebecca. Good morning. You're on with Chief Rebecca.
Happy to see that he was appointed police chief. I've known Chief Worthy for years. He probably wouldn't know. He'd smile, though. This man can always smile, and he's always pleasant. And he just said the other thing that I was going to say. I read in the paper, and it said what his mother told him when he was young. And then he talked about how he was raised. Now, I'm a lot older. I'm 76 years old, but this is how they raised us in the 50s and in the 40s. And call it what you may, it works because we did not have the crime. We had better laws back then. There's too much stuff that gets lost in the court system. But I am so happy that he's been appointed our police chief, and so right the sheriff is about the parenting. They just give these kids a cell phone and turn them loose now, and think they have contact and control of their children, and they don't, because I have a 17-year-old granddaughter. And so I know. But anyway, thrilled to death, and I love it when the sheriff comes on. Jack, she's very informative, and I'm glad she's going to be around another 4 years. And go, Chief. You got it. The ball's in your court, and we're praying for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How about that for a nice call? That's good. This is Gary. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Jack. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to congratulate the chief on his new job. Bryan Station will slowly and surely take over the world.
Bryan Station has a lot of successful graduates.
Yes, we do.
Yes, they, yeah.
I'm not that high on the tier, but I am a graduate. I'd like to, and I hate to rain on the parade, and I do think our police department does a pretty good job. I grew up on Loudoun Avenue, and we've got the new I'm not sure what you call it, a substation at Eastland Shopping Center. And we have a speeding problem on Loudoun Avenue, and I hate to inform you that the police officers are a contributing factor to that problem. I can always tell when it's shift change because it's a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit for some strange reason on Loudoun, And nobody, including the police officers, do 25 miles an hour on Loudon, especially at shift change. And I'd really appreciate it. I've mentioned this to two or three policemen that I've had contact with, and I thought I'd take the opportunity to catch you on the air. This is a small blip, a small problem, I know, but it's hard to tell, you know, your kids that you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, when you're following behind a policeman that's pulling away from you and you're doing 10 miles over the speed limit.
Chief?
So thank you very much, and that's my only comment, the only negative comment I have. Thank you.
Well, he's taking a note.
Well, he sure is. Yeah,
I guess you know what my first email is going to be about when I get back to my desk.
Okay.
We do have to realize that we're models for youth and for the community. So we shouldn't be speeding. So we'll address that directly.
Chief Lawrence Weathers and, of course, our Sheriff Kathy Witt. We're so happy that you brought the chief with you this morning. Here's some questions, Chief, on our text line. And a really nice comment or two. It says, I have a very close relative that is a Lexington police officer. I followed him through his training, and you have a top-notch training program and top-notch instructors, and I'd like to thank them for teaching my relative to survive out on the streets. That's a nice thing.
Thank you for saying that.
This is JB. Good morning, JB.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning to your guests. I have two quick questions. Number one, are emergency vehicles with siren and lights required to slow down or stop at a red light, or can they just blow right on through without slowing down?
They have to slow down and stop and look both ways all directions to make sure it's safe before proceeding to the intersection.
Second question, can one police officer give another police officer a ticket for speeding?
It's happened before, so I'm going to have to say yes.
Okay, that's all I want to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, some more of these texts. Please start enforcing the car window tinting law, a risk to officers and the public. Is that like a secondary offense, or can you ticket somebody just for that?
It's a primary offense.
It is.
And we do cite for that. And
you do?
Yes, sir.
25-mile-per-hour speed limits need to be enforced. Let's see. In the future, will the Lexington Police Department take POPS, P-O-P-P-S, Certified Police Officer lateral transfers? I don't know what that is. Can you explain that?
Yeah, if an officer is already a certified police officer, they can be hired onto another police department without having to go through the academy again. Lexington looked at that a few years back and decided not to do that, and I haven't had any really big emphasis put on allowing that to happen. So it's not on my front burner, and it's probably something that I'm not going to look at real soon.
Are we full strength?
No, sir.
Are we close?
We're hiring a class here, hopefully, in May, that should put us at full strength. But then we have to worry about attrition because there's always a certain number that retire.
Yeah.
So that will put us right at the number we're supposed to be at. But if we have anybody leave, then we'll be back down.
And we have a sector form or precinct, right, where have different sectors around the town.
Three sectors.
Yeah.
Yes,
and three.
Yes, sir.
Now, is that good? Is that something that you're going to tweak, or is that a good thing? Or
Right now it's working for us, but we can't just look at right now. We have to look at
down the road.
So there's other ideas that are being presented, including a fourth sector, but that will take more police officers. So that's something that
that's down the road.
Yes, sir.
Down the road. Any other things in the future that you can think of that we might be seeing or that'll be under consideration?
I'm sure there are, but nothing comes to mind
now. Okay. Sheriff?
Well, I just really appreciate Chief being able to come on the show and giving our listeners an opportunity to hear him. And for those who don't know him, I hope that this has been informative to them. I'm wondering if you can give your email address out, so in case people have follow-up questions that maybe they could email them to you and start the dialogue that way.
Of course, you can go on to the webpage and get the Chief of Police website number, but my email address is lweathers@lexingtonpolice.ky.gov.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming. Always good to see you, Sheriff.
Thank you. And remember, pay your property tax by April 16th. We're at 98.8% collection right now. We're trying to get again to 99.55%. And again, that deadline's April 16th.
You do a great job.
Thank you.